The topic that I share is really at the heart of the practice. The Buddha said, I teach one thing and one thing only, and that is suffering and the end of suffering. And that's what I'm talking about. These incoming defilements, greed, hatred, delusion are the cause of all human suffering. We see it across the world, fighting, wars, and we see possibly, you could attach greed with the climate, fires. So these unwholesome states, unwholesome mind states turn the wheel of samsara, leading to rebirth of suffering. They're called the three poisons, the hindrances, the defilements, knots or bonds. In Pali language of the Buddha, they're called kalesas. And the First Noble Truth says that there is suffering. We cannot get around this unsatisfactoriness of life, this stress in life. It's because of these three that I mentioned, and their habitual energies that run rampant in our minds and become the lens through which we see the world. But we can untie these knots and manifest capacities of kindness and compassion that shine outwardly in our life. It takes clear seeing, wisdom, understanding, intention, patience, and practice with mindful meditation. So in Buddhism, the innate quality of the mind is clear and luminous. In one sutta, the Buddha said, luminous monks is the mind, and it is defiled by incoming defilements. The uninstructed run-of-the-mill person doesn't discern that as it actually is present, which is why I tell you that. For the uninstructed run-of-the-mill person, there is no development of the mind. Luminous monks is the mind, and it is freed from incoming defilements. The well-instructed disciple of the noble ones discerns that as it actually is present, which is why I tell you that for the well-instructed disciple of the noble ones, there is development of the mind. But we've been designed to seek pleasure and to avoid pain, to survive. If we're human, we're going to have these mental states. It's not personal. It's not our fault. We can't control it. We're driven to keep pleasant experiences pleasant. We resist in a moment. We resist something that we want something to be better in the moment. The problem is that it's not the objects these states become fixated on, you know, that brand new car or that food. It's that we believe them to be true and real and that they will lead to happiness. So one teacher says that we've misplaced our faith, sada, in thinking that they will lead to happiness. And our misplaced beliefs are in direct conflict with the reality that all phenomena are impersonal, impermanent, and imperfect. And I like to think of these tendencies like on a continuum. In one sense, you could look at it as a volume button on a receiver. It turns up really loud or down. But perhaps a better analogy is using a glass of clear water and adding, I didn't bring my dye, but adding a drop of dye in there, it may turn pink. So that can be looking at hatred is a strong word, but that pink dye might be an indication, oh, a little irritation, a little frustration, a little impatience, and or defensiveness. But the few more drops, it could feel like anger, rage. Before you know it, the water is deep red and there is no clearing that up right away. I'm sitting with the experience of rage or hatred. Despicable acts, you know, are created at that level, that state of suffering. But every day we're buffeted by these greed, hatred, delusion, states of mind in the form of the eight worldly winds, always seeking pleasure, avoiding pain, seeking gain, wanting to look good, avoiding loss, seeking success, avoiding failure, and praise, and avoiding blame. But when the water is slightly tinted, we can see that and notice it and say, oh, I'm resisting something here. We can name it, own it, feel it in the body and just say, yeah, resistance is present. It feels like this. And though these three different states of mind can feel different in the body, I love just that it's resistance to whatever is present, all three of them. So we can identify that feeling when that water is just tinted slightly. We can feel into that suffering and catch it in the act and look at it. I'll talk about that a little later too. But as I said, the states of mind are conditioned habit. They're conditioned through that process that Sims has talked about last year, and we talk about frequently in dependent co-arising, which starts with ignorance. We don't know that we don't know that we're causing ourselves suffering. And delusion is the foundation or the underpinning of the other two. Some people use the term delusion and ignorance as the same, because it binds the two together and sets them in motion. So we look at that link, Vedana, feeling, for clues about what's happening with these states of mind. And Vedana means feeling tone. And we really want to look at experience that just, is it pleasant or unpleasant? Or is it neither pleasant or unpleasant? But because of our mind's conditioning, we carry our beliefs, opinions, ways to do things that are right, our feelings, our personalization of life. We carry that along with us. So instead of just holding the original experience of seeing discomfort, feeling resistance, I don't like this, this is uncomfortable, we make it personal and we pull it in if we like it. We push it away if we don't. But again, it's not the sound, for instance, that is the problem. It's our conditioning, our habits around what it means. There's a teacher who once put it, we're all sitting under the same roof and have totally different experiences. So I want to mention how I've experienced some of these, and I'll tell you at first, noticing greed, craving, clinging, wanting, grasping, attachment. So there's an action of pushing forward or leaning into. If you've ever been in your car and, you notice you're kind of leaning into the moment, but there's also that wanting pleasant feelings. We want more, like the ice cream syndrome. You know, I've scooped out three scoops of ice cream. And, I'm looking at it. It looks so delicious. I take the first bite and it is delicious. And I take another bite hurriedly before I know it. The third scoop is gone and I don't even remember eating the third scoop because I got distracted when I was watching television. So I get another scoop and I put a few more scoops in there and then I eat it and then I don't feel so well. Dukkha. And also, so what I like to do when I look at these states of mind, I look at what I'm avoiding. The opposite end of the spectrum of greed is generosity. Why am I refusing it? Oh, I'm refusing it because I feel like I'm lacking something. I'm lacking something in myself. Stories that say I'm not good enough. I don't have enough. I'm not complete somehow. I don't have anything to give. I'm needing. I need. I can't give. I need. So that's the one way I also look at these is, what am I refusing from the antidote? For instance, generosity. I never felt like I could give anything. And giving Donna when I first joined was Sims was difficult. I was very confused about how much, what does it mean? But anyway, I need to move on. So hatred is a huge, harsh term, but if we can look at it as annoyance, frustration, impatience, anxiety, fear, ill will, my will is ill. There's a desire to push away. I don't like this, but there's something also very subtle. like an example with an alarm clock with my mom, who needs, she's not capable fully in body and mind. And I saw her in bed the other day and she didn't look like she was too awake. I noticed her alarm clock. She mentioned she liked the alarm clock I bought her because there's four alarms. She needs to wake up four times and to take care of herself and take some meds. And I saw that she didn't have them set. So I reached over and I flipped them up and she yelled at me, "Stop controlling. Why are you controlling that?" or something. And I said, "Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you." So I saw that I was trying to fix something that really didn't need to be fixed. My perception was wrong. Like she needed help. She didn't. So this sense that, hatred can be felt like I have this sense of being right and everybody is wrong. I have this sense of urgency sometimes to do something. And you can see how the self can snowball, get really big. And by the time it's too large, the harm's already been done. And so loving kindness, why am I refusing it? Because I'm afraid to be vulnerable. Extending kindness to someone, I haven't extended it to myself. I don't, again, there's something lacking. It hasn't been modeled to me. It's uncomfortable. I don't know it's possible. Those pieces are there too. I remember talking to a teacher once. I said, "Why is my mind never on my side?" And he said, "It is a loving kindness." And right there, I knew I was just trying way too hard and I didn't accept myself. So delusion and ignorance can be thought of as foggy confusion, not grounded in reality. Checking out, sleeping, you know, disappearing, avoiding or ignoring the truth. And you don't even know you're suffering. It's like waking up and seeing one's addicted. And, you know, I spent my life thinking that I was an innocent victim. Then later seeing how I hurt people. Only after looking in the rearview mirror that I saw that I was always trying to protect myself against some pain, and which wasn't real. So I checked out and turned away from the pain that I was causing, and I was disconnected from what was happening. I didn't trust. I really didn't have ground to stand on. It's similar to aversion for me because there is a pushing away feeling. But the antidote of clear seeing and understanding. So why am I refusing the antidote for understanding and clear seeing? I don't think I'm capable. I don't know how. I haven't been still. So sometimes it reminds me, being alive has to be pointed out to me, like joy. Oh, that's joy. Or, you know, delusion. I don't have any ground. I need to be shown. We need to help each other express what these states feel like. So the good news is that these states contain the cure. And what I mean by that is we need to own them. We need to feel uncomfortable. We need to feel our ill will. And rather than turn away from them, because they won't go away if we ignore them, we have to meet them with kindness. And because they're not personal and they won't last. So all we have to do is not get too glued to them. And when they diminish, the wholesome capacities return and manifest. So we do this by knowing what we're experiencing and what we're not experiencing. You know, is delusion present or is it not present? Do I feel grounded or not? So it's really important to notice what's present in the mind and what isn't present. And these states have energies that we can feel in the body. So the body is the first place to pause and go, whoa, what is this I'm feeling? Unsettled, to get stuck and to not own those mental states. So in meditation, this is why we relax, get still, and get quiet, because our minds will not get to that clear water if it's wanting, if there's aversion and confusion. If I'm stuck in traffic sometimes, I'm like, oh, you know, well, some first it's like, why isn't that person going fast enough? And then I go, oh, impatience is present. Thank you. And then other times it's like just softening that grip. Nothing to do, nowhere to go, just be right here. So how often do we ask, how is the mind? We say, hey, how are you? How's your mind? How's my mind? So we can say, we can stop throughout the day and ask, oh my gosh, it's so tight. I've got this story in my head about my mom, that she's sleeping all day, whatever, needs my help. Not true, actually. So what are we clinging to? A view? What are we protecting? What are we resisting? So there's some ways that we can, I've kind of alluded to it, how to feel these in the body, or during meditation, we can do mental noting. You feel anger. Anger feels like this. Feel that tightness of the breath, or however it manifests for you, or aversion, that, oh, resisting, don't like this, has nothing to do with them, but doesn't feel good in that my body. I can watch it can contract. We can question our thoughts. There's another teacher who says, don't side with yourself. If you think you know, try to bring in that pause and don't side with yourself. Question your thoughts before acting and believing, and ask, are you sure? Is it true? And you know what? I'm almost always wrong. But the strategic mind the strategic mind is protective and oppressive. It doesn't want, it's afraid. That's why we need to treat it with kindness in order for it to relax and for us to enter more spacious freedom that's not tied to clinging. So I have 2 minutes left, and I'm looking at if I've left anything out. So I've mentioned about treating what we're seeing with kindness. And there's ways to cultivate qualities. They emerge when our self settles down and thins out. Well, we can also cultivate them. Like Tuari mentioned once, she YouTubes babies to gladden her mind. And because we want to notice when the mind is spacious, steady, and joyful, and we want to know when it's contracted. But by relinquishing the pulling forward, we receive contentment, generosity, and ease. And by relinquishing pushing and resisting, we receive kindness and spaciousness and open-heartedness. And by letting go of ignorance, we see clearly what is present, and that is wisdom. And so we do this by setting ourselves on this eightfold path, which asks us to have right view, right intention, and conduct around harmless speech and actions. And I want to end with a poem. So beautiful. From the First Free Women, Genta the Conqueror. I was forever getting lost until one day the Buddha told me, to walk this path, you will need 7 friends: mindfulness, curiosity, courage, joy, calm, stillness, and perspective. For many years, these friends and I have traveled together, sometimes wandering in circles, sometimes taking the long way around. There were days when I thought I couldn't go on. There were days when I thought I was finally beaten. It's scary to give all of yourself to just one thing. What if you don't make it? Oh, my heart, you don't have to go it alone. Train yourself to train just a little more gently. Gentle persistence. Gentle, sincere persistence will lead you to freedom and happiness. Thank you for listening.